Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here for the preaching of the gospel, and we consider it an honour to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And we pray that God will bless his word, and if you're not saved, that God will speak to you. And if you are a Christian, you'll be encouraged through the preaching of his word. Now, I'd like to read a verse in Luke's gospel, and if you don't have a Bible, just sit back and enjoy the reading. But if you have a Bible, when you follow it, it's in Luke's gospel and chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and a very well known portion of Scripture. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, maybe just another, just back Luke's gospel, just a touch to chapter number 10. Verse 29, But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. And we trust that God will bless the reading of the word of God. This past week, before I came down here, I've been in the past 2 weeks, I've been in a very rural part of Scotland, where very, very few people live, and with preaching in a portable hall with my brother Jack Hay. And most of our audiences would be farmers or fishermen, and on one particular day we went in to see a minister of a church who lives nearby. He's a saved man, and we'll go have a coffee with him, and a time to pray together. And as I was going in to see him, I said to him about the death of the Queen. And he told me that there had been a disaster in that area. Many lives had been lost at sea in the Solway Harvester, and he'd been invited to preach in Crathy Kirk, which is an area just next to where the Queen lived in Balmoral in Scotland, and he was invited to stay overnight in the palace in Balmoral. Mind you, that would be something, wouldn't it? And he was with the minister of Crathy Kirk, and they were there in the palace. And he was saying that on that occasion, the minister asked the Queen, What's your favourite hymn? And the answer that came back was most surprising. In fact, it's in that hymn book. It's not the hymn that was sung at the funeral. This was the hymn that was our favourite hymn. And it's in your hymn book. The reason it wasn't sung at the funeral is not as many folk in that big cathedral in Westminster would know it. I don't know, that's a shame that they didn't. Because this was the hymn that her father sung to her as a girl. Her father was King George, and he read to her Luke 15, then sang this hymn to her. There was 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out in hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away in the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. That was Her Majesty's favourite hymn. Why? Believe it or not, she regarded herself to be a lost sheep that needed to be found by a good shepherd. Now, that's the most surprising thing to me. That one who, I would imagine you would all agree, had a very privileged life, who lived in palaces and had more wealth than all of us put together, would regard herself to be a lost sheep. But ladies and gentlemen, every one of us are lost sheep. Every one of us, no matter what privileged position we have in life, No matter what standing we have in society, no matter what brains we've been given, no matter what money we have in the bank, every single one of us, we're wandering out of the way at times. And we're going down cul-de-sacs. Maybe you'll agree that at times you've made bad decisions and gone down paths you wish you'd never gone. And just like a sheep wanders, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. My father-in-law was a sheep farmer. He would get up every morning at 5 o'clock. In fact, maybe even before that, I'm just telling you what I noticed. And he would get up and he would go out the back door, he would take his dogs and he would drive around the very far side of a valley, and he would get his dogs to drive the sheep back over the mountain because they'd always been wandering. Every day he did that. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is a man who, when he died, never had one holiday. Now, you think that's a bit strange? That's what he was made of. He say, with the sheep wandering every day, every single day, because it's in their nature to wander. That's what they do. If you don't put them in fences and fence them in, they'll wander. And the Bible puts us a picture that we're all like that, every one of us. And Her Majesty the Queen reckoned that she was a lost sheep that needed to be found. That's why they sang, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want," at her funeral. Because the Lord had become her shepherd. And I wonder if you've ever learned the point that Her Majesty the Queen learned, that you're lost. I remember being asked to go and see a lady who was dying. And I went up the stairs into the house. Her daughter says, "She's upstairs, Craig." And there she was, lying in the bed. Now, I've seen many folk die, and I didn't think she was dying. I thought she was poorly. I thought she was very ill. But I didn't think she just had a few hours to go. And she sat in the bed, and she says to me, "Son," she says. That's what she called me, "son." It's a kind of Scottish expression. I don't think you'd do it down here to me. But she says, "Son," she says, "I'm feared." And that just means I'm very afraid. And I said to her, I knew her, and I says, "What are you afraid of?" She says, "I'm afraid to die." Mind you, that was honest, wasn't it? What do folk try to kid themselves on? Afraid to die. And she meant every word. Fear was written all over her eyes. And I said to her, "Well, I'm going to read you about a man called David. I want you to listen to this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I said, "I want to tell you how David could say that." She says, "Tell me." How could he possibly say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil"? I says, "It's because he could say these words, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" And I told her the importance of the word "my." I says, "You need a good shepherd, and you've got to make him yours." I prayed with her, and I left. The next morning, her daughter phoned me. She said, "My mother passed away last night." I couldn't believe it. I didn't think she was anywhere near it. She says, one thing she wanted you to know, all she said was, "Tell him, the Lord is my shepherd." I'll tell you what, it gave me huge encouragement to know that. That dear lady, in the throes of death, had taken the Lord Jesus as her own personal shepherd. But ladies and gentlemen, we haven't to leave it until the last moment. Her Majesty the Queen, as a young girl, learned she was a lost sheep. I would love you to learn that today, because I've got good news for you. There's a good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Did you notice in the service they sang, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven"? You ever notice line 3 in the first verse? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Why do you think the Queen asked for that? She asked for that because it was a day when she learned that there was a ransom price paid for her soul. There was a day when she learned that the Lord Jesus Christ had died as a ransom for all, that the Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And she reckoned that she needed that ransom and that she needed to be forgiven. She reckoned there was sin in her life. I wonder if you've ever learned that. There came a point in my life when I learned it. I learned I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. You say, it's too simple. Oh, it's too beautiful. I love it, the fact that it is simple, so that boys and girls and men and women can get saved. You see, it's not for the clever, and it's not just for the rich. It's for every one of us. He loves you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, came down to Calvary's cross to die for you. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, healed, restored, forgiven. They tell me that the favourite portion of Scripture that the Queen had was the story of the product of the Good Samaritan. They tell me that was their favorite portion of Scripture. And that seems to be well documented. I find it incredible because a theme's beginning to emerge for me. There was 99 that saved a lost sheep, needing a good shepherd. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And now we're learning that our favorite portion is the Good Samaritan. You see, I believe the Queen thought that she was like the man at the side of the road, half dead, in need of a Good Samaritan. I wonder if you've ever realized that you too are going down in the pathway of life and you're just like that man at the side of the road, half dead. She, I think, believed that was her. And she knew that people like priests and Levites, people who should have known better, they walked past on the other side. She'd seen enough of high religion to know that people dressed up in religious garb didn't always have the reality in their lives. But the man who they least suspected in the parable, the Samaritan man, he's the man that comes a great distance in the parable and gets down and he pours in oil and wine. I want to tell you, you don't need more religion, but you do need a relationship with my Savior. And he's come a great distance for you. He's left heaven, right down to Bethlehem's manger, and he's gone all the way to Calvary for you. He's come a big distance for you. And he's come with a remedy. He's come with, well, it's more than oil and wine. Wine in those days was an antiseptic, and he would clean the wounds out with it, with the antiseptic, and the oil would be an embalming ointment, and you can see the poor man getting bandaged up by the Good Samaritan. It's just a picture of this. My Savior is the great physician. He's the good doctor, you know. He's come for those who are ill, spiritually unwell, and he has the remedy. He has the remedy to heal you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great physician, the Bible says. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the queen understood that if she was going to be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, she had to find someone who could meet her need. And she found that in the person of Christ. And do you remember too, not only did he come at great distance, and not only did he provide the cure, but he also lifted the man up, and he put him on his donkey, and he provided the transportation all the way to the inn. It was the queen who asked in her funeral service that these words be read: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That her blessed Savior would transport her all the way to glory. That he was the way. If you said to that Good Samaritan, "Hey, sir, get up and walk," he would have looked at you. "I'm half dead." He had no capacity to walk. He had no capacity to do anything for himself. But you see, he needed one to lift him up and provide the means by which he could be transported to a place of safety. I don't know who you're depending on, but I know there's only one way to heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And the man at the side of the road is now on his way. He's on his way to the hotel, to the inn. And I know you'll believe in the story that he comes to a place of safety. But he comes to more than a place of safety. It's a place of provision. It's the hotel. And you might remember, 2 pence is put down. You see, 2 pence is hardly too much. Well, it was a 1 penny was a man's wages for a day, so I don't know what you get paid daily, but multiply that by 2. It was a reasonable sum of money that was put down. I want to tell you, the bill was paid for him by the Good Samaritan. Can I tell you, the bill of my sin has been paid in full in the blood of Christ. The Bible says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more." He's paid it all. I want to tell you, the bill's been paid, completely paid. And he takes him to a place of safety and protection. And I believe that when she asked for those words to be read, "In my Father's house are many mansions," she believed she was going to a place of repose and rest and happiness and peace. You see, there's a real place called heaven, promised to all who trust Christ. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're going to be with your Savior in heaven. It's a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven. I believe the Queen had that precious portion of Scripture as her own because there was a time when she too accepted Christ as her Savior. You know, do you remember what the man, the Good Samaritan, said? He says, when I come again, he says to the innkeeper, if he owes you more than that, when I come again, I will repay you. You see, he promised both the man at the side of the road who'd saved his life, and he promised the innkeeper he was coming again. And our Queen asked to be read at her service these words, if I go, I will come again. The man who was the minister of Crathy Kirk said that on the last Sunday that she attended the service there, that she wanted to speak to him about a certain subject. Do you know what that subject was? The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? That in the last few days and weeks of her life, she was interested in the return of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you today, he's coming again. My Savior is coming again for his people. And he's coming again to take us to a place of safety and a place of glory where we're going to be with Christ. That is why I would submit to you that portion of Scripture was so important to her. She regarded herself like a lost sheep that the good shepherd would find and lay it on his shoulders and say, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You know, a good preacher that would come around our parts when we were young was a man called David Cain. Used to come in tents and preach around our area. And I remember him saying he was up the Mourne Mountains in Northern Ireland, and there was lots of farmers' children there, and he was talking about the good shepherd with the carrying the sheep on his shoulders. And he says, these boys and girls, you see that sheep? Do you know how it kept on the shepherd's back? He says, it hung on by its claws. And there was a wee farmer's boy. He said, Mister, a sheep doesn't have any claws, okay? He says, well, how did the boys and girls, did the sheep stay on the shepherd's back? Of course, up went all the hands. The shepherd held on to it on his shoulders. I've heard so many people say, if I get saved, I'll never be able to keep it up. They've never understood something very precious. He keeps us all up. None of us can keep it up. We're all just guilty sinners. We're all just lost sheep. But thank God he takes us to a place of safety, a place of protection, and he holds on to us. Oh, your grasp on him will loosen at times. But his grasp on you will never change. If you come as you are, as a guilty sinner, to the good shepherd. You know what he says in John 10, 28, 29? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and none can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You're absolutely secure for all eternity. Isn't it wonderful? What would stop you? And you say, well, you know, I think I'm okay. I think that's for people who are in real need. That's for the drug addicts. And people have ideas in their head that they're somehow above it. I'm glad to tell you, Her Majesty the Queen took her place like a lost sheep, with all her privileges. And I'm going to say this now. If you don't take your place as a lost sheep, who needs a Savior, my friend, you'll stay in a place of danger. You'll never know the arms of his love. And you'll go to a place the Bible calls hell, and ultimately the lake of fire. Not because you weren't loved. Not because you didn't pay the bill. Not because he didn't come a great big distance for you. Not because he didn't have the cure for and the remedy for your problem. Not because he wasn't willing to transport you all the way to glory. Not because he wasn't willing to come back for you. But because you continually refused his love because you said no to him. And one thing I know about heaven, there's no conscripts in heaven. No one's forced through the door. Everyone's a volunteer. Everyone loves Christ. You know, when we get to heaven, there'll be nobody sitting there with their chest pushed out saying, oh, you know, I got here myself. Nobody will have that. No boasting up here. Every one of us will be pointing to that man who died for us in Calvary's cross, saying, but for that man, I'd never be here at all. He died for me and rose again. I wonder, you know, if there's someone here and you're not saved. I wonder if you'll take the place of being a lost sheep. Lost, astray, needing to be found by a good shepherd. Needing to be found and cured by a great physician. Needing to be found by a good Samaritan. You see, the man in the parable of the good Samaritan, when he said, "Who is my neighbor?" he was thinking about people that he maybe could show kindness to. He had to learn that no, he was the one who was in need. He was the one who needed help. And the good Samaritan, his neighbor, was the one who was coming for him in all the need. I take it you need to learn that same truth so that you can sing these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by." So you can sing that through death's dark veil I will fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod, my staff, they comfort still. You need to be able to sing that. You need to be able to say it, but you need to him. You need him. I wonder if there'll be someone here and you'll come to him tonight, just as you are, without one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." In that hymn that the Queen said was her favourite, it says these words, "But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost." I like the fact that that was her favourite hymn. She had an appreciation of the fact that Christ had died for her soul. What about you? Where do you stand in the great matter of God's eternity? Her old dad had heard these truths himself in a place called Earl's Court. He learned these truths himself as a boy, and I believe he was indeed a man who had taken Christ as his Saviour himself. And he read them to that young Elizabeth. And he read the story of the lost sheep and told her that there was a shepherd seeking her. And told her there was a sacrifice being made for her. And told her about the place of strength and security in the shepherd's back. And told her there was a song that could be sung. "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." But you know, I'm sure he would have told her too that there was a statement made in that parable. "I say unto you that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 persons which need no repentance." I wonder if you're in the category of someone who thinks they need no repentance. Or can you come today just as you are and experience the joy of the blessings of salvation by accepting you need to repent? One sinner that repents, heaven's going to rejoice. Now, trust that God will bless his word, and that you too will come into the good of God's salvation today. Shall we pray?